Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Peyten Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Tanya, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Matam Lomar, Bashemen, Bashemen, Shnei Pe'amim. By the Todah, why does it say Bashem, Bashemen two times? The reference here is to the Mishnah, which told us that the Chatzilok Shemen was a measurement used to tell you how much Shemen you brought with the Lachmei Todah. So by the Lachmei Todah, it says, Im al Todah Yakrivenu, Rivkiv al Zevacha Todah, Chalot, Matzot bilulot bashemen. So that's the first one. Urekike matzot mishuchim bashemen. That's the second bashemen. And then there's a third one which we'll get to later, which is solet morbechet chalot bilulot bashemen. So you have bashemen bashemen from the chalot and the rikikim. So why do we have it written two times? Ilu no ne'amar ela bashemen echad. If you only had the word bashemen once, hayiti omer harihu kecholam minachot. The log, I would have thought that this is no different than any other minachot. And just like a standard mincha comes with one log shemen, meaning for all of the chalot ha-todah, not the chametz, but the matzot, there should be a single log shemen. Achshav shekatav bashemen bashemen, have a ribui achar ribui. That's something that's inclusive after inclusive. Vein ribui achar ribui elamait. And two positives, two inclusionary terms that are written one after the other, they come to exclude. Miato ha-katuv. Therefore, it reduced it down from the standard size. So if the standard side was a log shaman, and now it's going to be lechatzi log, it's going to be reduced down to half a log. Umar says, riboy achar riboy. This isn't a riboy achar riboy, chad riboyu. It's just one riboy. The first bashemen, it needs to tell you that you need shemen, period. The second bashemen is the riboy. So now you only have one riboy. So how can you call it a riboy achar riboy? Ella, ilon le'namar bashemen kolikar. Had you not written the word bashemen at all, hayiti omer, harihu kecholam minachot lelog. I would have thought that it's like all the other minachot, and it gets a log shemen for all of the matzot. Achshav shenemar bashemen bashemen. Now that it writes bashemen bashemen, have a riboy achar riboy, ben riboy achar riboy, elalama 8. So if you get two inclusionary terms in a row, they come to exclude. Miato akatuv the chatzi log. And therefore the Torah has now pressed it down or pushed it down to half a log instead of a full log. So now the first way that the Gemara set it up according to Rabbi Akiva was, bashemen bashemen, you have two ribuim. Those two ribuim come to teach you that had I had just bashemen, I would have just used your standard amount, which is a log shemen. Now with the second bashemen, I reduce it down to a chatzi log. But the Gemara questions that logic because the way you're setting it up, the first bashemen is necessary to know the information. And it means that there's only one extra bashemen there. So then the Gemara starts with another premise is that had you not had the word bashemen there at all, it would have worked and you would have said that it's like a standard mincha and therefore you would have put shemen in it. Now that I have bashemen twice, now I have a riboy achar riboy that was unnecessary and then riboy achar riboy elulamait and that takes it down to a chatzi log shemen. Now the Balei Tosafot over here ask about other instances where we have a similar limud of ribuy achar ribuy lema'et. And over there, the Gemara doesn't question the fact that the first one is needed, and therefore the only the second one is a ribuy. For instance, he brings the case of mezuzot. Uchtavtam al mezuzot peitecho visharecha, that's written by Shema and by Yaim Shemoa, and the Gemara calls that a ribuy achar ribuy. So the Balei Tosafot themselves don't answer it. But you could suggest that there's a difference. The word mezuzot in of itself is a riboy. So even the first mezuzot, you could have had it be read mezuzat. The fact that it says mezuzot is already a riboy up and above what mezuzat would have been. Therefore, even the first mezuzah is a riboy, and that's why over there you'd call their riboy achar riboy. Whereas over here, bashemen, bashemen, it's not a natural riboy. Had it not been for the fact that it's extraneous or unnecessary, the word bashemen, you wouldn't have automatically assumed that the word bashemen is a riboy. But that's why it has to be that you don't need these words at all, and therefore they are a riboy. Because had you needed one of the words, that by definition would have eliminated it from the possibility of a riboy achar riboy. And now that we do have that, it is a riboy achar riboy lema'et. And therefore you go from a standard log down to a chatzi log. I would have thought now you have a chatzi log. A log is equal to 6 beitzah, and that means that a chatzi log is 3 beitzah. So I would have thought you give a beitzah worth of oil to each one of the different chalot. Chalot here meaning not the chametz, but the matzot, which is the chalot, the rikikim, or the rivucha. So for those 3 different categories, you would have broken it up evenly and given a beitzah of shemet to each one of them. Shuomer, Bashemen, Berivichan. This is what I pointed out. There was a third Bashemen. So when it takes here the Bashemen by the Rivucha, Shein Tamadomar. You don't need that Bashemen. Rebashemen the Rivicha. That says you give excess or extra Shemen to the Rivucha. Haketzad. So then how do you deal with this? Mevi Chatzilog Shemen. So you start out with the Chatzilog Shemen. That we know from the Riboy Achariboy, the first two Bashemens. Vechotzeyu. You split it in half. Chetzio the Chalot, Ulrikikim. Half of it will go to the Mafet Tanur, which are the Chalot and the Rikikim. Vechetzio the Rivicha. And the other half will go to the Rivucha. That means now if I have a Chatzilog Shemen, a quarter log is going to go to the Rivucha. And a quarter log is now going to be split between the Chalot and Rikikim. And that means that the Chalot and Rikikim will get an eighth of a log each. And the Rivucha will get a quarter log Shemen. And all of those added together will get you to that Chatzilog Shemen. Amar lo, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, Akiva, ima tamir abe kol ayom kulo, bashemen, bashemen. Even if you go all day long with your ribuim and using your fancy footwork and doing all these ribuim with the extra words and bashemen shemen, any shomei alecha, I wouldn't heed that as being the reason. Ela chatzilog shemen letoda uvid shemen lenazir b'charas hayom sheben nidal ledina alecha lemoshe misinai. These three halachot are a mesora from Moshe Rabbeinu. They're not halachot that we learn out of the psukim. That is the chatzilog shemen, which is what we just discussed here, that is for the toda. That's a misora. The rivi'it shemen that goes for the nazir, which is really a derivative of the todah, which include only the rikikim and the chalot, they would get the quarter log. They'll get half as much as the todah to match up with the number of chalot that are brought over here. And therefore, you would have a quarter log. Now, truthfully, you could have learned that from the todah, and that's the way we did it until now. But if you make the todah, lacha l'moshe misinai, there is a general principle. When you learn something from a lacha l'moshe misinai, you can't extrapolate from it. You can't learn other things from that. And therefore, once you have the shemen of the todah, the alach l'moshe misinai, then the shemen and nazir also has to be alach l'moshe misinai. And then the last halacha, which is the 11 days between nida and nida. This is speaking about nida mid'oraita. For nida mid'oraita, the woman after a sighting of dam from the mekor is tmei'ah for 7 days. No matter how much dam she sees during that 7 days, she is tmei'ah for those 7 days. At the end of the seventh day, as long as she has stopped bleeding, she can go to the mikveh and she is tahor. She doesn't need to wait any nikiim. She doesn't have to do anything besides go to the mikveh after the seventh day and become tahor. That then triggers or starts what's called the 11 days of Yemei Ziva. During those 11 days of Yemei Ziva, the halacha is the following. If she sees one day, she is shomeret yom keneged yom. If she sees sighting one day, she has to keep one day of tahara. If she sees 2 days, then she's also shomeret yom keneged yom. She sees for 2 days, then she has to keep one day of tahara, go to the mikveh, and she's fine. If she sees 3 days in a row, she becomes then a zava gedola, and requires shiva nikiim in order to become tehora. So now, that's the halacha midoraita. The bnot Yisrael hechmiru al atzman. This is discussed in the Gemara and Nida, that they took upon themselves a chumrah to wait shiva nikiim for any sighting of Nida. They did that because of the possible confusion or problems of the sighting of dam. And that is, if you sight dam during the 7 days, the first 7 days, then it has no impact. That means that you just have to wait until the seventh day, and then you can go to the mikveh. If you see the dam outside of the 7 days, then it does have impact, including shomer yom keneged yom, or if you see it 3 days in a row, you become a zava gdola. So many times, women got mixed up with their counts or their cycles, and they didn't know if they're having a sighting during their period of nida, or during that period of Yemei Ziva. And obviously the Nafkamina is great. The Mishnayot in Kinim discuss exactly this safek, where a woman is in this safek. What does she do? How does she get herself out of this problem? How many days of Tahara does she have to sit? And then which korbanot does she bring? It's a Mishnah in Nida that we'll get to, a complex Mishnah, but that was definitely an issue for the woman. So they decided to be Machmir Atzaman, that no matter when they see Dam, they're going to always wait 7 days of Tahara, meaning that they will pretend to be Zava Gedola every time they have a sighting of Dam, and therefore you have to wait. The way the halacha works here today, it's a minimum of 5 days of Tumah, and then 7 days of Tahara, in order to be sure that the woman isn't in her Yemei Ziva, and would need 7 days of Tahara. So therefore they were Machmir Atzaman to do that. So that 11 days of Ziva, where you have these dinim, is halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim. That's not explicitly mentioned in the Torah in any place. Now, as far as Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's criticism of Rabbi Akiva, it's a classic criticism of Rabbi Akiva. We find it in many machlokot tanaim with Rabbi Akiva, that Rabbi Akiva learned something out through his tremendous erudition and sharpness from the psukim themselves. And the response of the other Tana is, that's all great, Rabbi Akiva, no matter what you do, I'm not going to listen to you because. And many times the because is, I have a Mesorah, or I have a Halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim. Rabbi Akiva is mostly driven by a logical argument or a derivation from the psukim in order to source the halacha. Many of the other Tanaim who argue on him sometimes use logic, but many times have Mesorah that overrides. The difference might arise from the fact that Rabbi Akiva started learning much later on in life, and therefore he doesn't have as strong a Mesorah as the other Chachamim, and therefore he looks for sources in the psukim themselves, or in the logic of the halacha itself, rather than from a Mesorah which he might not have had, or even if he did have it, he said that he could find it in the psukim, but that Mesorah is a derivation of what we find in the psukim. So that's just as far as Rabbi Akiva versus Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. In addition, when Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah rejects Rabbi Akiva, the simplest way to read it, and that's the way that the Miuchas the Rashi reads it, is that he's just rejecting the source. He's not arguing on the halacha itself. He's just saying, I don't agree that the source is in the psukim. I think that the source is halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim. On the other hand, the Rashi in the Ketav Yad brings that he argues more fundamentally on Rabbi Akiva, and he disagrees with the halacha completely. It's not just disagreeing with the derivation being from the psukim versus halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim, but he's rejecting his whole approach here of ribui achar ribui. And he says here, elachatzilok shemen l'toda, l'chol ha-minim is halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim. And you can see that more clearly in the Rabbeinu Gershom, where he says, halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim, demitchalek bishaveh the gilu minim, v'lo ba'yikra. So that he believes not only is the derivation incorrect, but the fact is that when you have a chatzilok shemen based on halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim, it's divided up evenly between the three different types of matzot, a beitza worth for each of the matzot, the mafet tanur, the chalot, the rikikim, and the rivucha. All of them will get a beitza worth of shemen, unlike Rabbi Kiva, who thinks there's an uneven distribution based on his ribui achar ribui. And therefore he's arguing fundamentally on the halacha that Rabbi Kiva brought. Right now, the Gemara goes on to say, belog hayamudet, that when it comes to the regular log in the Mikdash, it was used to count out or to measure out all the standard menachot, which is that you have an isaron versus a log. Tanur banan, b'mitzorah ani k'tiv, by the mitzorah ani it says, isaron balul velog. The truth is that the posuk that we're quoting over here is not really one straight pasuk. These are words that are found not in a sequence, but in those psukim, which is that it's really isaron, dot, 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 balul, dot, 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 velog. And that's because the pasuk says in Vayikra, yudalid pasuk chaf aleph, bimdalhu, ve'en yado maseget, if he is poor and he can't bring the standard korban for the tarat mitzvah, lakach keves echad asham litnufa lechaper alav. V'isaron solet echad balul b'shemen l'mincha v'log shemen. So you have the word v'isaron, and then it says solet echad, then it has balul b'shemen l'mincha, and then it has the word v'log shemen. So they're connecting between all of these and saying, l'imed al isaron sheton log divrei chachamim. Chachamim learn from this that the standard measure, therefore, for a nisaron is a log, because the isaron echad results in a log shaman. Rabbi Nechemia, Rabbi Elazar, omrim, afilu mincha shel shishim esronim, ein la ela loga. So we saw in the Mishnah that they believe that even if you have a mincha that is made of 60 isaron, which is the maximum size of a mincha, over there you only put in one log shaman, and not a ratio of one log shaman for every isaron. Shinamar. So they quote the same pasuk, but they quote it in order, which is, at the end of the pasuk, it says, "Balo b'shemen l'mincha v'log shaman." So they just quote l'mincha v'log shaman to teach you there's only a log shaman for a mincha. Every mincha has only one log shaman. Rabbi Nechemia, Rabbi Lazar, or Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov, ha'yisaron balo v'log my avdile. What do they do with the fact that the breakdown of the psukim, the way Chachamim have it, is Isaron, so techad balu b'shemen the mincha v'log shaman, makes it sound like the isaron gets a log. How the gufei that you need for the mitzorah ani itself. The kamar rachmono, the Torah is telling us, laiti chad isaron, that he brings one isaron for his korban. V'idach, Lugufei lo tzarich. The Chachamim say we don't need it for the mitzora ani to tell us he has to bring an isaron for his mincha. Midagali rachmana gabi mitzora ashir. By the mitzora ashir, which is the parshia right beforehand, it tells us gilbo korbanot, gimel esronot. The mitzora ashir brings three behemot for his korban. And those three behemot, each one of them garners an isaron. Hacha dechad korban. Over here by Mitzora Ani, where he brings two birds and one korban, that one korban behema, chad isaron. So it's a logical result of what you would have seen by the Ashir, you would extrapolate to the Ani. I don't need a pasuk to tell me that he has to bring an isaron. If by three behemot of the Ashir he brings three esronot, then by one behema of the Ani he's going to bring one isaron. Veidach, and Rabbi Nechemiah and Rabbi Lazar who argue on the Chachamim, why don't they think that way? Itzrich. You still need it. Salkadat chamina, I would have thought, ho v'chas rachmana alei. The Torah had pity on this poor person, latuye b'dalut, and therefore let him bring a lower form of korban or a cheaper form of korban. Ema lo lebay mina mincha klal. So maybe he shouldn't require a mincha at all, because he's being saved money, and therefore that savings also includes not bringing a mincha, and therefore it needs to spell it out explicitly by the Ani. And in this instance, it's not so far-fetched, because out of the three korbanot that are brought by the Ashir, a chatat, an ola, and an asham, the Ani only brings the asham. The chatat and the ola come through birds, and the asham generally does not require a mincha. It happens to be by the mitzora, as we saw in the Mishnah, it's an exceptional case, where there is a mincha by the asham. So you would figure then, when the ani's requirements are reduced from three behemot down to one behemot of an asham, maybe they also reduce the fact that he doesn't need to bring a mincha along with this asham. Beidach, the gamrei lo ashkechan. The chachamim say, listen, we don't have korbanot that come without a mincha. Every korban comes with a mincha. And so then there's no reason to believe that this might have been unusual in that way, that this korban would come without a mincha. Rabbanan, hay lemincha velog shamen, my avdilei. What about the chachamim? What do they do with the pasuk when you read the words in a row? Which is the mincha velog shamen, which makes it sound like you only need one log shamen for the mincha. How the mitnadev mincha, we use that for someone who donates a mincha, shlo yifchot mitavara to'un log. You can't be less than something that requires a log. Umaynihu, and what is that? That's an isaron. The minimum amount that goes together with a log is an isaron. That means the smallest mincha that you can bring in the mikdash is a mincha of an isaron. Beidach tarte shmat mina. Rabbi Lazar and Nechemiah, so you can learn both things out. You can learn out that the minimum standard is a log to an isaron, or an isaron to a log, which is the smallest mincha. But it also teaches you that the largest mincha, which is 60 isaron, also only requires a log. And both pieces of information can be learned from the pasuk. And now the Gemara continues with the end of the Mishnah, which says Shishala par arba ala ayo shloshala keves. It says there that you have a measurement of 6 log for the nischei par, 4 log for the nischei ayo, and 3 log for the keves. Minolan, how do you know that's the case? Dichtiv, because it says in Parshat Pinchas v'niskehem chatzi ahini yalapar. The nesach of the par is 1/2 a hin. Hin. And a hin is 12 log, which again, until now, we've taken for granted that we knew that, but how do you know that a hin is equal to 12 log? Dichtiv, because by the Shemen HaMishcha, which we quoted the pasuk yesterday, which was Shemen Zayit Hin, there was a requirement that the hin be used by the Shemen HaMishcha. Uchtiv, Shemen Mishchat Kodesh, yeh zeh li ledorotechem. Zeh b'gematria, treser havin. The word zeh is 12 in gematria, it's 7 plus 5. And so this Shemen Mishkat Kodesh that you're creating from the Hin, Zeh, those 12 log will be there forever. And so therefore we learn from that that a Hin is equal to 12 log. And that lets us conclude in all the other places where it uses a Chatzi Hin, a Shlishita Hin, and a Revit Hin to determine how many Lugin that you need. And so by the case of the Par where it says Chatzi Hin, that's 6 log. By the Ayo where it says Shlishita Hin, that's 4 log. And by the Kevis where it says Revit Hin, that is 3 log. Right. Shlosho mechsa menorah chatzi log dechol ner. Use a 1/2 log for each ner. Mina hane mile. Where do we know this from? Now, the Balei HaTosafot just leave as an open question. Tema lema haya tzarich lekadesh shemen bekli sharet. Why do you need a kli sharet to put the oil into the menorah? It's not going on the mizbeach. It's not something that's mukrav to a kodesh baruch hu. So why is it that you have to mekadesh the shemen in a kli sharet before you place it into the menorah? So Tosafot just leaves that as an unresolved issue. But the Gemara assumes that that is the case, that you need to put it into Kli Sharet. It might have to do with the fact that it's brought into the Heichal. And anything that's brought into the Heichal is a presentation before a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And maybe that requires a certain level of Kedusha or sanctification before it's brought in there. So Tana Rabbanan, Mi'erevad Boker, the mitzvah of the menorah is from the evening until the morning, which is that you light it Ben Arabayim, and then it's supposed to stay lit all night. Tein la midata she'doleket v'lechet Mi'erevad Boker. You have to put in sufficient oil in order that it stay lit all night. Devar acher, Mi'erevad Boker, en lecha avodah shekshera Mi'erevad Boker lezo bilvad. The only avodah that is kshera from the evening all the way until the morning is this avodah. Now you can read that in one of two ways. You can read that means that if you didn't light it, Ben Arabayim, you can continue to light it all night. Or, as we saw before, if it blows out at night, you have to go and relight it. So it's something that you're engaged with from the afternoon until the morning. Or Me'erevad Boker would be that this is the last avoda in the Mikdash. Gemara Pesachim learns that the Hadlakat HaNeirot Ben Arabayim is the last thing that's done after the Tamid Shel Ben Arabayim. And this closes the day of avoda in the Mikdash. And that's what it means, Erevad Boker. This is the only thing, the only avoda that's going on overnight in the Mikdash. It'll restart in the morning, but the lit menorah is me Erevad Boker. So that's the other way to read it. Mishiru Chachamim, and the Chachamim measured out, or figured out, that Chatzilog Me'orta Atzafra, that you need a Chatzilog Shemen to last all night. Now the truth is that the length of the nights are different. In other places, the Gemara notes that it's Chatzilog Shemen for the longest night of the year. During the winter solstice, which is the Tkufat Tevet, that's the longest night, it requires a Chatzilog Shemen. So they use the Chatzilog Shemen every night, even though you didn't need that because that was for the longest night. In the Bavli, it seems to indicate that that's it. And you would spill out, or you would burn off the extra, but it wasn't that they reduced it in any way. The Yerushalmi, and it's quoted by the Balei Tosafot over here, says that you used to put in a thicker wick during the summer, and a thinner wick during the winter. So they compensated for the difference in volume and the length of the night by using thicker wicks or thinner wicks. On the longest night of the year, they'd use a chatzilog with the thinnest wick. And in the summertime, the summer solstice, in the Tkufat Tammuz, they would use the thickest wick with the same amount of oil. A thicker wick draws more oil more quickly, and therefore it'll burn off faster. But in that way, they didn't really have leftovers. They consumed the oil every time. Iga damre, milamala lamata shiaru. How did the Chachamim figure out that a chatzilog is what they needed? So there's one opinion that they started with a larger amount of oil, and they slowly reduced it until they got down to a chatzilog. Some people say they did it the opposite way around. They started with less oil, and then they moved up until they reached the chatzilog shemen. The one who says that they started with smaller amounts until they reached a chatzilog, HaTorah chasal mamanam shel Yisrael. That's because the Torah doesn't want them wasting money or spending on the oil just to go to waste. So therefore, they did it in smaller increments, starting smaller and then getting bigger until they figured out the amount they needed. According to the one who says that they went from the largest down to the smallest, because in aniyut b'makom ashirut, because you don't have displays of poverty or miserliness in a place of royalty, in a place that is in the service of Hashem, in a place that is supposed to be opulent and full of wealth and presentation to Hashem, there you don't do things that are miserly in nature. So these are two principles that come into conflict a lot when we deal with issues inside of the Mikdash. Sometimes Chazal emphasize Torah Chatzal Menonam Shel Yisrael. Sometimes Chazal emphasize En Aniyut B'Makom Ashirut. Sometimes the tension plays out to bring a balance, or sometimes you have an argument, like over here, as to which of the two were emphasized. And so here, the machloka revolves around which of these two principles is being emphasized. That's how they went about determining how much oil they needed to keep through all the way through the night. Now the truth is that it's a little bit strange to do it in a manner that says that they lit it with less oil and then they kept figuring on by adding it out, because then they wouldn't do the mitzvah. So over here, Miyuchas the Rashi notes that they would have somebody sit there all night and watch it. And if it extinguished, he would add in more oil. So that in order to do the mitzvah, they had somebody sit there, which is a much harder way to go about doing it, because then you need somebody to stay there every night, versus the case where if you put too much oil, you just light it, you come in the morning and see what's left over when you come to the morning. So that would be probably an easier way to go about doing it, but it's not as an efficient way, and that's really the machloket over here. How efficient do we want to be versus how practical do we want to be about it? All right, so the next Mishnah says, Me'arvin nischei parim b'nischei elim. You can mix the nesech of a par with the nesech of an ayo. The truth is that later on, Abaye will come along and tell us that this is speaking about the nischei yayin and not the shemen and the mincha. But on the pashtut level, it's speaking about the nisachim, the minchat nisachim, which is the oil and the flour. And the reason that you would mix or allow for the mixture of parim and elim is because they have the same ratio. For the par, it's 3 isaron and 6 log shaman. So if you have 6 log to 3 isaron, it's the 2-to-1 ratio. For the ayo, it's 2 isaron to 4 log shaman, which is also a 2-to-1 ratio. But when it comes to the keves is 1 isaron for 3 log, so it's a 3-to-1 ratio. So the parim and the elim, you can mix them together because they're a 2-to-1 ratio, both of them. But the kvasim, you can't mix together with them because that's a 3-to-1 ratio. Therefore, nis chay kvasim b'nichsei kvasim. If you have different nisachim of a keves, you can mix those together. Shel yachid b'shel tzibur, whether it's of a yachid, whether it is of the tzibur, shel yom b'shel emesh, whether it's today's and yesterday's, because we know you can bring your mincha detached from the korban. So therefore you can mix those together because they're all the same genre of minchat nisachim. Aval, eim arvim nischei kvasim b'nichsei parim b'elim. So obviously what comes out of this and what I noted already is that you can't mix that of the kvasim with the parim and elim because those are different ratios of oil to flour. V'im balalam, elu b'fnei atzman, v'elu b'fnei atzman. If they're already mixed and kneaded separately, b'nit arvu, and then they get mixed together, k'shirim, that's okay. Im atzalo balal, but before you mix it, if they got mixed together, pasul. Because then you have a problem of too much oil, too little oil, one's blila raka, one's blila ava. So in that case, we won't allow you to use it even b'diavad. In the case or the scenario where you already have mixed them together, so then the oil and flour have already been joined together in a manner that gives the ratios for each one of them, then afterwards, if they get mixed together, that's less of an issue, bidi abad. A keves, aba im haomer, afal pishe minchato kfula, the keves, the korban that comes with the minchato omer, even though it has double the normal amount of a mincha with the flour, which is it comes with 2 isaron instead of your standard isaron for a keves, nevertheless, lo yu nichtisachav kfulim, the oil and the wine are not doubled in this case. Biraminu asks a question from a pasuk that's found by the Shlamim where it says vihiktiru. The word vihiktiru is in plural, and instead of being the singular verb form that's used by all the other avdot of the Shlamim, it says vihiktiru. And from that they learn shlo yarev chalavim bechalavim. You're not allowed to mix up different chalavim, different fats, different hakravot that go on the mizbeach. You're not allowed to mix them up. They have to be put on separately. So now the problem is our Mishnah is indicating that even the chatchila you could mix the menachot. And here you have a instruction from the pasuk that says anything that goes on the mizbeach can't be mixed together. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan im nitarvu ka'amar. Our Mishnah is saying b'diavad. If they got mixed together, then you're allowed to put them on the mizbeach. Now that's a hard reading of the Mishnah because ihachi ein me'arvim nischei kvasim v'nischei parim ve'elim ve'afilu nitarvu nami lo. What you're suggesting over here is if the first part of the Mishnah is only b'diavad that we allow it, that means that the second half of the Mishnah when it says ein me'arvin that you shouldn't do this, that means that it would be pasul even b'diavad. But then v'hamaktani seifa, the seifa of the Mishnah says explicitly that b'diavad it's okay because the seifa of the Mishnah says balalan elu b'fnei atzman ve'elu b'fnei atzman v'nitarvu k'shirim. So there, if it's saying it's b'diavad, it's kasher in the seifa, that implies michlal deresha lechatchila kamar, that the ratio is saying that it's okay even lechatchila. Otherwise, the Mishnah is disjointed and wouldn't make sense. Amar Abaye, hachi kamar. So now Abaye has a different way of explaining the Mishnah that incorporates this halacha of v'iktiru and tries to deal with the problem, which is me'arvin yeinam im nitarev saltan ushmanam. So this is what I've noted before, that Abaye is going to read the Mishnah as dealing with wine rather than with shemen. And he says that the wine libations of these items are allowed to be mixed if the shemen and solit already got mixed. Now, as far as the solit and the shemen are concerned, we don't want you mixing them, because the solit and shemen, the minchat goes on the mizbeach, and therefore it's governed by v'iktiru that you have to keep them separate. But if they already got mixed together, then we don't worry about the wine. The wine itself doesn't go on the mizbeach. It's poured down the piping on the side of the mizbeach. So it's not governed by v'iktiru. So technically, you could mix the wines together, even the chatchila. we don't want you doing that, we're going to see now, because v'einan l'chatchila lo, but then the yayin l'chatchila, you can't do that? V'atanya, don't we have a braita? V'amei dvarim amurim besolot v'shemen of a yayin me'arvin. Solot and shemen can't be mixed together. The minachot cannot be mixed together, but the wine libations can be mixed together. Elar amar baye, so now baye amends what he said before to now explain it more fully. Hachik amar, heicha dehuktar sultan ushmanan. Once the solot and shemen ended up on the mizbeach, marvin yayin lechatchila. Then you're allowed to mix the wine lechatchila. Heicha delo huktar, when it doesn't end up in the mizbeach, then im nitarev sultan ushmanan marvin nami yeinam. If the solot and shemen already got mixed together, then you're allowed to mix the wines together. Vim lav ein ma'arvin. If not, then you're not allowed to mix them together. Dilma ate le'ruve solot shemen lechatchila. Because if we allow you to do it by the wine, you're going to come to do it by the mincha. So over here you have two different dinim. You have a din by yayin, which says that lechatchila you can mix the wine from different libations together without any problem. What we're afraid of is if we allow you to do the din of the yayin, which is to mix it lechatchila, you're also going to mix the solot and the shemen of the mincha together lechatchila. When it comes to the solot, the shemen, and the mincha, you're not allowed to mix them together lechatchila. Bidyavad, if they got mixed together, then we have the din of our Mishnah. So given that, we now come up with three dinim. If the solot and shemen already gone on to the mizbeach, then we don't care anymore. There's no mistake that can be made of you mixing it together because they already went on the mizbeach. And therefore we say, mix the yayin together lechatchila. Do whatever you want with the yayin. But if the solot and shemen have yet to get on the mizbeach, and therefore there is a chashash that if we allow you to mix the yayin together, you're going to mix the solot shemen, the different menachot together. In that case, if they've already been mixed together and bidyavad, they are kasher, once they are mixed together, now there's no fear of mixing them because they're already mixed. Then you can put on the yayin lechatchila. On the other hand, if they have yet to be mixed together and they're still not on the mizbeach, we won't allow you to put the yayin together. And therefore, the Mishnah that we're reading now, according to Abaye, says that when we said in the beginning of the Mishnah, me'arvin, that you're allowed to mix the nischei parim with the nischei lim, that's speaking about the wine libations. You're allowed to mix them together lechatchila. That's only if the solot and shemen have already been mixed together. And then when it says in the Mishnah, ein me'arvin, that you're not allowed to mix the keves and the parim together, that's speaking about even in a situation where the menachot got mixed together, we still won't allow you to mix the yayin together because over there they are of a different type of mincha. But then the last statement in the Mishnah, which is imbalalam elu bifnei atzman velu bifnei atzman binitarvu ksherim, you first of all would have to say it's speaking about solot and shemen. That's clearly not speaking about yayin. And then since it's detached or disassociated from the rest of the Mishnah, which is speaking about yayin, then it also drops the distinction between parim, elim, and kvasim. That means no matter which of the minachot of nesachim got mixed together, if they were already mixed and then they were put together, bidyavad, they are ksherim and they can go on the mizbeach. Because even though there's a restriction of viktiru, that's only lechatchila, bidyavad, if they got mixed together. And again here, it's irrespective of whether they have the same blila or a different blila, irrespective of whether it's a par ayil or keves, it is kasher bidyavad to be placed on the mizbeach. So in that way, the braita that says you mix the yayin lechatchila is speaking about once the menachot have been placed on the mizbeach, irrespective of what type of minchat nisachim it was. Once it's ended up in the mizbeach, that's out of the picture, and all the yayin you can mix lechatchila. The Mishnah is speaking about a case where the minchat nisachim has yet to end up on the mizbeach, but there are two scenarios. There's a scenario in which they already are mixed, and therefore that should possibly permit you to put the yayin on the chatchila. There we have the distinction between parim and elim, where if they're already mixed together, we're going to allow you to mix the yayin and the chatchila because there's no chashash anymore about, first of all, mixing the parim or elim because they're already mixed. And even if you did mix them, they're of the same type of lila, so it's not so problematic. And therefore we'll allow you to mix the yayin and the chatchila. Even though the chatchila, the shemen, and the solot shouldn't have been mixed together, they already have been mixed together. On the other hand, when it comes to the shemen and solot of the keves versus the par va'ayo, in that situation, even if they've been mixed, and bidyavad, it is kasher, nevertheless, we won't allow you to mix the yayin lechatchila, because we're afraid that then you'll take precedent from that and do it in other situations where you have this mismatch type of minchat nesachim. And therefore, we won't allow you to mix the yayin lechatchila in that situation. But in a scenario where the menachot nesachim have yet to be mixed together, they are still separate. In those situations, we will not allow you to mix the yayin no matter what the scenario is. Doesn't matter if it's parim and elim or parim elim versus kvasim. We won't allow it because there is this din of hiktiru, which says that lechatchila, we don't allow you to mix different hakrovot. And that means that even that of parim and elim and that of parim elim versus kvasim, all of those menachot lechatchila should not be mixed together. And so therefore, if they've yet to be mixed together, we're not going to allow you to mix the yayin together because that would then make you or lead you to mix the menachot together, and that's not allowed, the chatchila. And then the end of the Mishnah is, even in situations where they are mixed together, no matter what type of mincha it is, if it was already mixed separately and then mixed together, all of those are kshirim b'diavad to end up in the mizbeach. There is a view that says that even in the maskana, the Mishnah is speaking about both yayin and shemen and solet. And in that case, you would read the Mishnah like we have done until now, but you would add on an additional aspect to it, which is the beginning of the Mishnah is also referencing to solet and shemen, which says that when a par v'ayil's mincha gets mixed together, even before they were nivlal separately, they would still be kshirim. Versus a case where you have the parim elim that got mixed up with a keves, in that situation, if it's before blila, then they would be psulim because they're a different type of blila. So according to this reading, it would add on one additional item that would be kasher, and that is the case where the parim and elim got mixed up even before they were balul separately. Whereas in the first way we read it, the end of the Mishnah governs all these cases, which is im balulu elu b'fnei atzman b'velu b'fnei atzman, only if they were separately mixed, then when they're put together, are they kasherim b'diavad. Right now, the Gemara continues. Keves haba min haomer, tarobanon, uminchato shnei asronim. So that's what we said before, that the solet that goes into the mincha of the keves of the minchato omer is shnei asronim. Limeda la keves haba min haomer sheminchato kfula. That shows that it's double the normal amount. The keves normally gets one isaron. Here you're going to get two isaron. Yochol kashem sheminchato kfula kach yeinu kaful. You would think just like the mincha, the solet is doubled, so too the yayin is doubled. Tamalomar. Vinisko yayin revi'itahin. It says that the nesach is revi'itahin, which is your standard nesach of yayin for a keves, which is 3 log. 1/4 of a hin, which is 12 log, is 3 log. Liyocho lo yehei yeinu kaful, she'enu nivlal minchato. You would think maybe the wine libation is not double because it doesn't get mixed with the flour. Okay, shmano kaful, she'nivlal minchato. But maybe you should double the shemen because it is mixed with the flour. So like you have double flour, you should have double shemen. Tamalomar. Vinisko, the pasuk that we just quoted over here, vinisko yain revi'itain. Kol nisachav lo yuel revi'it. All the nisachim should be only a revi'it, which means 3 log. So you would have the same 3 log that is the standard for the yayin and the standard for shem by keves will be used for this keves as well. My Talmuda. How do you see from the word nisko that it's also including the shemen? Amar Rabbi Elazar k'tiv viniska. The nisko there is written with a hey and not a vav. So if you didn't have nikudot, the way that you would read it would be viniska, vikarinan, but we read it as vinisko. Ketzad, so how do you deal with the niska and the nisko? Niska de mincha, kinisko de yayin. The female conjugation of niska is a reference to the mincha. The male conjugation of nisko is a reference to the yayin. Or in essence, the niska is the reference to the isaron, the mincha, and the nisko is a reference to the behema, to the keves, which is the yayin that goes with it. And therefore, the niska, which is the shemen that's joined together with the mincha, that has the same din as the nisko, which is the yayin of the korban. My yayin revit, av shemen nam revit. Just like the yayin is a quarter hin, so too the shemen is a quarter hin, and they're both 3 log, which is the standard amount for a keves, even though you've doubled the flour. And that's what's meant in the Mishnah. Even though you have a double-sized mincha in terms of flour, the shemen and the yayin remain the standard size. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Asham mitzora sheshachato shelo lishmo. So we know from the first Mishnah in Zvachim, as well as the first Mishnah in Menachot, every korban that's brought lo lishma, the korban is a good korban, just it's not allowed the balim. It doesn't discharge the obligation of the balim. Now the asham of the mitzora is unusual, because most ashamot don't come with a nesach. They don't have nesachim associated with them. But the asham mitzora does have nesachim associated with it. So now what Rabbi Yochanan says, if you bring an asham mitzora shelo lishmo, then it remains an asham mitzora, and therefore ta'un nisachim. It requires nisachim. Shimei ata omer kein psalto. Because if you don't do that, then you've made the korban automatically pasul. Because you're telling me it's an asham mitzora, it just doesn't discharge the obligation of the balim. They'll have to bring another asham mitzora to become tahor. But it's called an asham mitzora. And if it wants to be an asham mitzora, it's got to have all the trappings of an asham mitzora, which includes bringing nisachim. So matkiv lavim nashir bagada, elamiato, keves haba ima omer, the keves that we just discussed that comes with the omer, sheshachato shelo lishmo, te minchato kfula, then if you shecht it shelo lishmo, it should also then require that the mincha be doubled like the standard keves that comes along with the omer. Shimata omer king, because if you don't say that psalto, then you would have ruined it. Vitamid shel shachar. If you brought the tamid shel shachar, sheshachato shelo lishmo, yeton shnei gzirim, bekoen echad. You do it shelo lishmo, that would require two logs of wood to be added on bekoen echad, because it says, ubiar leha akoen etzim baboker baboker veracha leha ola. So over there, there's a requirement of putting extra wood on the pyre in the morning when you bring the tamid shel shachar. So that's connected with the tamid shel shachar. And over there, the Mishnayot tell us that it's brought by one Kohen, not two Kohenim like Tamid Shel Ben Arabayim. Whether that's Me'akev or whether that's just you're permitted to do it isn't clear, but there's still a requirement that you bring Shnei Gizrei Etzim. Shema Ta'omer Kain, if you don't do that, Psalto, then that's not the standard korban that's being brought at that time. B'Tamid Shel Ben Arabayim, Sheshachto Shelo Lishmo. And again, if you do the Tamid Shel Ben Arabayim, Shelo Lishmo, Yeton Shnei Gizirim B'Shnei Kohenim. You have to bring two logs of wood for two Kohanim. Shimata Omer Kain, if you don't say that, Psalto. It's going to be Pasol. So the first answer of the Gemara is, Ein Hachanami. That's right. In all these Korbanot, when you bring them Lo Lishmo, and they're Ole the Korban, but not the Balim, the Ole the Korban means you have to keep the trappings of the standard Korban that is brought. And whatever would have been brought along with this Korban is going to be brought with the one that you did, Shelo Lishmo, as well. Because otherwise it would be Pasol, and then you would ruin the Korban. Elo Amar Abaye. So Abai says, so then why did Rabbi Yochanan only mention the Asham Mitzora if he really meant to say that it applies to all these items? He brought one example, and you can extrapolate from that one example to the others. Rabbi Abba Amar, Rabbi Abba disagrees and says, Bishlama Hanach Olot Ninhu. All the other examples you brought were Korbanei Ola. Ilo Chazul Olot Chova, Karvei Lolat Nidava. If you don't bring them as a Chova, there is such a thing as a voluntary olah. So therefore, if you don't bring it as an olat chovah, and you don't bring all the other trappings with it, it'll just turn into a voluntary offering. And that's fine. Elohocha by the asham mitzorah, ilo mimikle mimilte asham nidava miika. If you don't have it become an asham mitzorah, there's no such thing as a voluntary asham. And if there's no voluntary asham, that means that you can't convert it from an asham ragil or chovah into an asham nidava. So the only option is to bring it as an Asham Mitzorah, and that's why Rabbi Yochanan said it by Asham Mitzorah. This is a unique din by Asham Mitzorah that doesn't apply to any other Korban or all the other examples you brought, because those are examples of Alot. So Tanya Kavate de Rabbi Yochanan, we have a braita that supports Rabbi Yochanan's statement over here. Asham Mitzorah, Sheshachato Shelo Lishmo, O Shelan Utan Midamo Agabi Behonot. If you brought in Asham Mitzorah and you did it Shelo Lishmo, or you didn't do what you were supposed to do with the dam of the asham, which is put it onto the thumb and the big toes and the ear of the mitzorah to be mitaharim. So therefore, it's not going to be a good asham mitzorah, and the balim are going to have to bring a second one. Harizol ola the gabei mizbeach. It goes on the mizbeach, it's still kasher, but to own nisachim. And it requires the nisachim that come along with an asham mitzorah, even though no other asham requires nisachim. But tzarech asham acher lahatiro. And obviously, you're going to need another asham to discharge the mitzorah from his tumah, because either it was lo lishmo and it's lo alu the balim, or you didn't do what you were supposed to do, put the dam on the mitzorah to be mitaharim. So either one of those make it a failure in terms of his tara, so you have to bring another asham, but at least the asham shelo lishmo will be good to go on the mizbeach, but it has to have the trappings of a asham mitzorah, and that means you need to include nisachim over here. And then you have the machloket of Abaye and Rabbi Abba as to whether that's just a paradigm and it applies to all korbanot that have extra things that come along with it, or is it uniquely associated with the Asham Mitzorah because it's not brought as a nedava, whereas all the other cases were olot where they are brought as a nedava. Okay, we're going to stop here by the Mishnah on the top of Tzadi Amud Aleph.